All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, teenage boys are cruel morons.
Of course. This is a universal fact.
And I've got two of them here.
Oh.
And, yeah, they can't talk. You know, they're just hanging out. I promised them a shiny Fortnite skin if they kept their mouth shut and did what I told them to do for a little bit, and there's nothing sexual about it.
Hey, Gary, yeah. Where'd you get these boys?
I laid a series of Fortnite skins in a path up to a cardboard box with a stick.
Yeah.
String tied to it.
No, that's the way to do it, I think.
Yeah, they love them. So I thought, I've been thinking about turtle treasures, because I'm always thinking about turtle treasures.
Yeah.
You know me. And I was thinking about, so you, like a treasure chest, right? So like, you know, those analogies and the SAT?
Yeah.
Like a treasure chest has treasure in it. So does like a priceless urn, like a lot of times, right? So like, yeah. If treasure chest is to turtle, urn is to, and I was thinking maybe frog?
Okay.
Amphibians?
No, I think this is true. They got those big old mouths to go rubber. They can keep stuff in there.
They swallow things all the time. Like, if JRPGs have taught me anything, it's that giant frogs will swallow up to and including a human and all of their armor and gold and stuff.
Of course.
So, yeah. And because I don't, you know, I love animals. I don't want to do cruelty to them. I got these two idiot teenage boys who are cruel morons to play frog baseball.
Oh.
And we'll see what pops out of the frog when one of them tosses it, the other one hits it with a bat.
All right. Well, cool. I like how you're kind of like Jigsaw. You're committing the crime by proxy.
Yeah. I just promised them something that is so tempting.
Yeah. There's nothing in the rules that says a frog can't be a baseball.
Yeah. This is Thanos with an afro. Can you imagine? You slavering little fuck. Can you imagine how cool this will be to jump into Fortnite looking at with Thanos with an afro?
Right.
So, yeah. So I just figured out we'd see what was inside the frog and get some treasure. And like, if it's a game, Yahtzee, we okay. record the episode. If it's treasure, we retire from this fucking dead end gig.
Yeah.
With our turtle treasures and with our frog findings, and we just go to Cabo San Lucas. You know.
Yeah. I don't know. I prefer Cabo San Ness, honestly.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay, that took me a second. But yeah. I'm in favor of it.
Well, I'm gonna look away because this is horrifying, and I don't want to see that poor frog get hurt.
It's real gross. I hired a teenage boy to watch, who is a teenage nerd boy who's a sweet good boy.
Yeah.
So like, he's gonna tell me what happened, but I trust him. I don't trust the two cruel morons I have over here.
I hired all of these boys off of Aiden's list.
Yeah. Yeah. okay, Aiden, wind up, and then Aiden, keep your eye on the frog.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, that was wet. That was really wet.
Yeah. Let's go dig through the carcass. Let me give these guys their download cards.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And just hand those out. Well, I hired my own, elderly man.
Okay.
Yeah, from Gerald's list.
What did you tempt him with?
I tempted him with a Mashbox set.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's very. Does he know how to work the VCR? Like, does he know how to work the player?
Yeah. It's VHS. That's fine.
Okay.
He's used to it.
If not, because I feel like there's a rider attached to this where you'll have to go help him set it up.
Mm.
Like, does he have the clock set? Because I feel like he probably doesn't.
No. You don't need that unless you're scheduling recordings, though.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's gonna bother him.
Yeah, it's going to bother him.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, it's probably worth it.
Okay.
To do whatever you want this old man to do, sexily or not.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's just the way Gerald's list works. So he's rooting through the... Are those fragments of Guar tickets?
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dang, Brevis. It's time for the Beavis and Butthead Show, starring music videos and guys.
Yes.
Mike Judge has a weird career arc burner.
I'd rather not think about his politics. Dun, dun, dun.
It's weird that Hank Hill is a hateful moron. I am Gary Butterfield.
I am Cole Ross.
And this is After Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Indeed.
Yeah. This week we are talking about Beavis and Butthead, the Sega Genesis game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a Patreon. Let me make sure this is right. This is a Patreon request from Christopher saying Beavis and Butthead, a Beavis and Butthead adventure game that involves going to a GWAR concert can't be that bad, can it? I played a shitload of this on Sega Channel as a kid, but I don't remember beating it.
I can't remember eating it?
Beating it?
Oh, it really sounded like you said eating it. It's like, well, because that was one of those real good sentences we run into.
Mm.
I played a lot of this on the Sega Channel as a kid, but I don't remember eating it.
Mm. Yeah. No, so this is a game from my childhood, Gary.
Me too.
I liked this game quite a bit back then. I understand why it is bad. Like, why mm-hmm. it's, you know, not very good. Like, there is the core of something that is actually very excellent in this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was such a big Beavis and Butthead fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a huge Beavis and Butthead fan. When Butthead died, I turned into Beavis. that is me recycling, like, a tweet I made, like, a year ago.
Oh,
so
that's fine.
I felt like... If it maybe didn't perform as well as I wanted it to.
No, it's fine. You can do some necromancy. If it's fallen, if it's fallen, you know, below the fold, I think you can bring it back. It's fine.
Yeah. I was a huge Beavis and Butthead guy.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. I loved this show. And I played like a bunch of the games.
Mm-hmm.
Like I played the Super Nintendo game, which is pretty different. I didn't have a modern PC at that time. So I haven't played the PC adventure game, which by all accounts is legit good.
Yes, I really want to play that, but it looked like a real hassle to get to run.
Plug for friend of the show and personal friend Bob Mackey.
Yeah,
he did an episode of Retronauts on that.
Oh, nice.
And it sounds amazing, and I've watched some video of it, and it looks really cool. It's like mm-hmm. beautiful. As beautiful as these kind of like, you know, hyper grotesque.
Right.
As like, was the style of the time 90s designs were.
Yeah, but beautiful as in like faithful. Faithful to,
yes.
like, to the look and style, right?
Yeah. Faithful as you can be while showing Butthead, who I think is one of the most unpleasant looking. like you can't have that much gum showing all the time.
No.
You know, he's hanging gum and it's not balls. It's upper lip gum.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's you just can't be walking around showing mouth pink like that.
Yeah.
It's not it is not becoming. Have you seen the hyper realistic sculptures of Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
weirdly enough, like the one of Butthead looks like a regular person. The one of Beavis.
Yeah. Beavis is very uncanny valley. Like, you know, because Beavis's ugliness is definitely, you know, more subtle.
Certainly. Yeah. But like his eyes are not always bugged out like that. In fact, both of them, their eyes are very beady.
Yeah.
In general. Right. Except when Beavis becomes the Great Cornholio.
Yeah. Beavis, who I consider to be El Guapo, a.k.a. the handsome one.
It's going to be hard not to accidentally amend my laugh to be a Beavis and Butthead laugh for this.
Just whenever you're trying to keep these two straight, just like which one's the hottie and which one's the naughty. You know?
Yep.
That's how you can sort your Beavises and Buttheads into two separate but equal piles.
Well, Beavis, while also being the more comely of the two, is also the more ethical. It's always Butthead who is like goading him into doing worse stuff. They're both like moronic and amoral. But I think that Beavis is the Lenny. He's
we're like Charlie Day.
Yeah, yeah.
From It's Always Sunny or something.
Something like that. Yeah.
Slightly more innocent idiot.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. It does that formula where it's like, you can't just have two idiots. You have to have one who's slightly smarter.
Yes.
And that's how you get comedy.
So you were in your teens around the time, and I consider the heyday for this to be like 1994. So you were like right in the pocket, 14,
yeah.
Watching MTV already. Here comes this really funny cartoon that is specifically aimed at like saying like, haha, this is what people think you are.
Yeah. Kind of thing, right? Even though like, I mean, that is true. I barely thought of it in those terms. Like mm-hmm. I mostly just liked the videos,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I liked the videos with commentary. you know, as a thing. Like before this, when my dad was still in the picture, that's when I had my like MS3TK or MS3. I can never get those, you know.
MST3K, Mystery Science.
Okay. Yeah, Mystery Science Theater, like time. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, oh, like I want to watch people make jokes over something.
Yes.
They often weren't jokes in Beavis and Butthead, but it didn't really matter.
No.
And then, so I feel like as a kid, like the actual, the part of this that is like kind of commentary and or, you know, satire, like I probably just completely missed,
mm-hmm.
you know, the part that worked on me though, were like some of the actual legit good jokes, which there are plenty,
yes.
you know, weirdly enough, like this is a funny show,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the time.
And a bunch and of just, it is on YouTube. Like just go and look at
oh,
that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I watched a couple, I watched some clips and some things I remembered before doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the actual funny jokes and just kind of like them being very outsized characters.
Yep.
For TV at the time, like it was fun to impersonate them. It had like it was like Saturday Night Live if they weren't like quite as like one note. Like
yeah.
weirdly, like these are better developed than Pat. You know, that was my other point of reference.
Set the bar higher. Yeah,
yeah. Or like any like the church lady,
yeah,
any
yeah.
SNL original character that's not impersonation. Like those were my two kind of touch points for big larger than life characters.
Right, right.
On TV at the time.
Your Harry's, comma, massive head wound.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Massive, you know, and that was all well and good. You know, I've come to appreciate a lot of that stuff now mm-hmm. as just being dumb, you know, because
oh,
I've
yeah.
gotten dumber. Now that I'm a big fucking idiot, I kind of like it a lot more. But it was just kind of like this was more appealing because it was bigger.
Uh-huh.
You know, so
yeah, you know what, and violence and scatological stuff is kind of always going to be funny,
mm-hmm.
right? Like in reading about this and, you know, looking at the Wikipedia page, there was something that really stuck out. I forget who said it, but it's like, yeah, you know, a lot of this is just a, you know, kind of pointing out how easy it is to make people laugh. Right.
Yeah. 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 And that's okay.
Yep.
You know, I have room in my heart and in my head.
Yes.
For Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. For both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So I'm younger than you. I'm about 7 years younger than you. And so like, this was something that I inexplicably was just allowed to watch. Just like I was always allowed to watch The Simpsons or play Mortal Kombat. And I never understood when I had friends over and it was like a summer, you know, summertime. I don't want to go out, you know, don't want to go outside. Let's just watch my tapes. Oh, I've got Beavis and Butthead. Like, no, I can't do this. I can't watch that because, you know, it'll make me into a
crime.
Into a crime. Yes.
Cold crimes.
Like, yeah. Well,
cold cases.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just sit in a room and say church over and over again.
like, you know, who's great? The Lord.
Yep. Yeah. No. But, you know, as long as I didn't swear and as long as I didn't do anything that they did, it was just like, fine, whatever, watch it. So yeah,
yeah.
Love this, and always had the VHSs, which sadly cut out the videos.
And that's the big bummer about experiencing this now. Like YouTube is pretty much what you want because all the collections have cut out the videos. Like
yeah.
it is that is a weird between this and the state
uh-huh.
entering into home media culture. You can see a real shift
mm-hmm.
in how we think about and how we value digital rights to things.
Yeah.
You know, so like you have things like this or you have things like the state, which like at the time those were airing, like one, you know, they were disposable. Like mm-hmm. media was considered a lot more disposable. They never thought like, oh, what will it take to put this back out?
Yeah. Like we you know? Won't still be airing this in 5 years. So it doesn't really matter.
And two, just like we can get these licensed video songs because bands want that.
Uh-huh.
You know, like they probably want to have their songs on Beavis and Butthead. Like that's how I learned about a lot of bands.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the state. And then now just the idea, you know, and in some ways that, you know, I'm not trying to argue like for exposure or some shit, but like it just changed.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is so the opposite. So like these fucking, you know, all these belly tracks, like Screaming Trees and Belly and shit that like ended up on those, like if you all these hot letters to Cleo jams, like the, you know, the rights are too expensive to put these on DVD.
Yeah,
you know, so the DVDs are just less than
uh-huh.
you know, those VHS tapes, if those still exist, are the best way to watch Beavis and Butthead.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, it's very strange. Like,
but, I mean, not the ones, I mean, if you had them, if they didn't have the videos, but like I meant more like people who taped them from TV.
Yeah, like if you got them off of television. Yeah,
yeah,
that's the thing. And you, like even then, like you would need to, you know, for some of the episodes, because of the moral uproar, like you know, the basically if you could get them on the original air, that's what you want. And just like this is a vanishing media. Like there is, you know, like Mike Judge has said, the originals have been edited so much that the masters are probably unusable.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you went back to the original tapes.
Well, and you have things like Mike Judge who does not, there are early episodes of this where, and these aren't, you know, I'm not going to bat for these necessarily, but like where they are crueler and shittier.
Yeah.
That he
yeah.
doesn't want out, that he won't re-release because he feels shitty about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like some of that, you know, some of the more violent stuff like Frog Baseball, which is the original sketch from Liquid Television, that has been re-released.
Mm-hmm.
But they had multiple Liquid Television things and they were all like, a lot of cruelty to animals in those. Like it was yeah, just kind of
pretty upsetting stuff.
Yeah.
Like, pretty,
and he's just decided that we can't have that anymore.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad decision, but it does speak to kind of a, you know, the vanishing nature.
Yeah.
Of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it'd be like, it'd be interesting if it just existed in posterity, but
yeah.
What are you going to do? Like this is a show that for as, for as like base as it started off, like eventually, like it's pretty sophisticated.
Yeah.
I don't know. We talked about this game a little bit.
Yeah.
I only ever had the Genesis version. I played a little bit of the SNES one, and just it feel pretty basic to me.
Mm-hmm.
They're different.
Yeah.
The Genesis one has a little bit more of an adventure game kind of hook to it.
Yes. You know, which is cool, even though it's like kind of an obnoxious and inscrutable adventure game.
Right. Yeah.
Like the as a kid I had this, like rented it many times. I could never make any real progress in it.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at it now, like when I can, you know, kind of research it and stuff, like it never would have occurred to me to go fishing out my window.
No.
In the game. And just the bait, like as to which one gives you the what you actually need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what kind of the bait to reward lineup
mm-hmm.
is very confusing to me.
Yeah.
You know, how you're supposed to intuit that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
like there are some puzzles where it's like, oh, you're wandering around in the mall and you see like on the inside of a bathroom stall for bad food, try Butthead. I'm like, oh, Butthead's the code for the back of Burger World.
Yeah. Cool.
Like that's fine. But then you get stuff like, well, what should I sell at the pawn shop and what should I keep?
Yeah.
Like I have no idea. Because yeah, I have no idea if something's going to be like winnable. So in a lot of ways, this is a really hateful and unfriendly, adventure game.
Very much so. Yeah. And there's entirely too much combat in it.
Oh yeah,
for an adventure game,
mm-hmm.
like you spend a lot of time, you know, shooting like bullet spongy enemies with spit wads
mm-hmm.
in this game, yeah. and that sucks.
Yeah. And the sprites are big. Like this is mm-hmm. this is a good looking game and that it is faithful to the style. The sprites are way too big for there to be combat in this because you're walking along and then a mall cop comes in right off the screen and like attacks you, you know.
Yes.
Like, with this huge like, you know, screen spanning baton attack, stuff like that.
Like, beautifully animated.
Yeah.
But still, you know, and the I love the way the game looks mm-hmm. like in general. You know, when you're faithful to the style is the reason why, but also this wasn't a style, like this has a unified style in a mm-hmm. way that super like games of this vintage don't.
Yeah.
You know, like everything is kind of like, I went to like the pet store and even just the drawings of the pets and such, like just look very much of this type.
Yeah.
Like a lot of care went into making this feel like that world. And it's like through the roof on, the PC version.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which looks like a cartoon.
It's like that hand-drawn grotesque kind of style.
Yes.
Right.
Like the Ren and Stimpy, you know, was the style at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this includes like voice samples, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Very, very surprising.
Yeah. But this is surprising, but necessary, right? Because,
yeah.
because like the, like those voices have you Mike Judge, you know, make those laughs and do those sounds and have little sound bites. This sucks. You know,
yeah.
like that, you know, that's what puts butts in the seats.
Yes. Yeah. Especially like, you know, at the time, that's the reason why I rented this multiple times,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this was after I had the conception that licensed games were shit.
Yes.
You know, I still was just kind of like hungry for Beavis and Butthead content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enough to, you know, have the cassette for the Beavis and Butthead experience and go and see Beavis and Butthead Do America, even though that came out in like 97 when I was, I'd outgrown Beavis and Butthead, but I still
right.
like went and saw it.
Yeah.
Just out of affection for these, this father and son duo.
Mm-hmm. This father and son.
So.
Yeah. I forget what I was going to say after that. So even though the adventure game stuff, I never got very far in this, going around and picking stuff up and trying it did mm-hmm. make it feel like I was, you know, playing as a couple of dipshits, just trying to like bash everything against everything. It felt a little bit in character. I felt like you were taking part in an episode of the show a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Like the frustrating part of it is just the, so the level structure of this, once you start this, you get a remote control, which you use on the TV to select stages. And that code, for bad food, try butthead, as a thing, isn't in the location where you use it.
Right.
So there is just kind of like a real trial and error. Like there is an optimal order to go to these locations and things to do. And there's no hinting or signaling what that optimal order is. You know, which is like the primary reason why this is a bad game.
Right.
Like even the too much combat, you know, that sucks. But like once you know how to do it, it ends up, and once you get some items, mm-hmm. like it's actually not that big a deal.
Right.
And then the inscrutable puzzles, that's kind of just there are a lot of good adventure games with really inscrutable puzzles. Like mm-hmm. it's kind of the style at the time. The biggest problem with this is how much you have to spend just pushing against every boundary initially. You know, there's just not logic to it.
Right. And dealing with the health bar, which is very aptly named the attention span.
Yeah.
Yep. Dealing with that, like you can switch between Beavis and Butthead. So you have two health bars and you kind of manage that. Each of them has their own inventory. You have to manage who has what weapons or whatever. But like, I don't like the idea of an adventure game where I can die and everything restarts. You know?
Yeah. And it is a password system.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it's pre kind checkpointing, like if you do die, you are just gonna re-enter a password for where you are. Hey, do you ever think about like what kind of lives Beavis and Butthead like led up to that point? Like, you know, they were definitely kind of cruel morons and stuff, but like this is a real child abuse kind of situation.
Cartoon. It's super grim. You never see their parents. I have no idea how the bills are paid. I have no idea. You know, they live in absolute squalor. Nobody seems to care if they live or die.
And they do, but they do have two separate houses, right? Because I remember, like, one of them goes over to the other one's house.
I can't remember the specifics on that.
Because if not, the implication is that they just have one bedroom and they sleep in the same bed. Which, like, I'm pretty into. Like, time for bed, Beavis. Yeah. That is funny to me.
Yeah.
Take this melatonin.
I felt your erection on me last night.
Yeah, it was cool.
I don't know.
You know, yeah,
you said boner. Yeah, like
burgeoning sexuality is cool. Healthy attitudes about nocturnal emissions kick ass. Sex positive Beavis and Butthead are good characters, man. We gotta take these things on the road.
It happens to everybody, Beavis.
Yeah, those feelings are natural.
I just kept on like, you know, Beavis screams fire, consent.
Orgasm's important, dude. We'll legit take this on the road. When we do DuckCon, there's going to be an excruciating play that everybody gets to watch. That's just the cavalcade of characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I played this longer than we usually do for shows. I think I did about an hour, for this show. Played about an hour of this. Following along with the fact, just seeing stuff, you know, basically feeling very satisfied that it could get beyond, you know, the place where I got when I was like 8 years old.
Sure.
But yeah, this is not a very good game.
No, it's pretty obnoxious. Like watching a let's play of it is kind of fun, just to see the new art and absurd, you know, again, kind of like characters and bosses and stuff, but I don't actually want to engage with those.
No.
It's kind of a weird theme with today's recordings too, of like things I mean the other game we're doing is much better, but things I appreciate, but like little unfriendliness made me just be like, well, I'm just gonna watch somebody do this.
Yeah, I'm gonna bounce off of this, but like I appreciate the stuff that I don't feel like getting to.
Yeah, so like this is something that, like, I'm kind of interested, but I could see myself watching an entire let's play or a long play of it, you know. And then this really did was make me want to go to like Home of the Underdogs or whatever and see if I can get the PC
yeah
one to run.
Yeah, I need to just invest the time to see if I can run that, like if it's a Scum VM game or something like that.
Yeah.
If it was Scum, I'd be aware of that. I think it's it has to be something weird, you know.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, these two boys. I read the comics, the Beavis and Butthead comics.
Oh yeah, that's where Daria kind of got her characterization and stuff. She was like a major foil for them.
Yeah, until she, you know, got a part in the show and then spun off into her own Daria, which today there's news, they're making new episodes of that.
What?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great.
I don't like, I'm real mixed feelings on it. Like I think that Daria is really a time and a place kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I would have said that, but then Beavis and Butthead's update was actually pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the
ones from 2011. Yeah.
Like it's not that, like, you know, who knows without it actually coming out.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's such a, like, that, like, disaffected, you know, 90s, like, thing. Was it like that same character existing in this new context would be almost too dark to enjoy?
Okay.
You know, like, sensitive, smart people feel miserable all the time now.
Right.
Because the world is hell and, you know, everything is awful.
Right, right.
So, like, you wouldn't, it's not fun to be that kind of, like, cynic.
Yeah,
in the way, in like a ghost world kind of Daria type of way.
Right,
like
right.
There's less fun to that now. Like now it's, you know, the fun part has been replaced by like, just, you know, it's your boy Tarantula Dick on Twitter, interspersed with just like, you know, terrible, terrible thing after terrible thing.
Right, right. Like it made sense in the 90s when there was a general exuberance to stand against, as opposed to just existential dread and cynicism being the water and the air.
Yeah, the only logical and, you know, emotionally sound response.
Right.
To the world that surrounds us. So like it just feels like she is so much of a product of her time.
Yeah.
Whereas like Beavis and Butthead feels more eternal to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, early 20s nihilistic, you know, idiots like make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. You just have to update the kind of music that they like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean like everybody knew a Beavis or Butthead in their high school, right?
100%, dude. Like my Beavis is extremely big in my personal mythology, the Beavis who I knew.
Yeah.
So he's kind of both actually, but like, yeah, it was a definitely like a dude who I knew who exhibited this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and like, you know, it was generally like a poor kid, like a bully, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
At least at my school. Yeah. You have to update, like having these guys like AC/DC is really weird. Cause that's such a dad thing.
Yeah. Now they'd be their sons.
Yeah.
You know, who like this stuff, but now they could like, oh, you know, there's dumb butt rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
That exists.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when I was in like high school or middle school, it was, you know, our Beavis and Butthead, they liked, you know, like Papa Roach.
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah. It was a bunch of like new metal stuff.
I don't know what the equivalent of that is now.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It has to exist. My Beavis and Butthead. Mm-hmm. I've told this story before, but he was the guy who one of my first, like very first exposures to like what I now understand is kind of toxic masculinity.
Uh-huh.
Was he was a weirdly like an outsider kid and glommed onto a lot of people who were kind of popular, but was a kind of took all takers.
Right.
So one time I was walking home and he was like walking with me and it was just like, okay, I don't really know why we weren't like friends or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a cat on the porch. I was like, oh, look at that pretty cat, you know? And he was like, dude, don't say pretty. Like, it's gay. Say nice cat.
This cat's cool.
Yeah. It was just, you know, don't say something's pretty because that word, you know, denotes femininity.
Right.
Like, nice cat.
Yeah.
So like it was so weird because the sentiment wasn't. And then he also we were in the locker room in gym at one point and some like one of the like actual like popular, you know, super prep dudes,
mm-hmm,
came by and he was like, hey Gary, you think that guy's got a schlong or a schlittle? and like, it's actually like a pretty good joke.
That's very good.
Yeah, it's actually like pretty funny. Uh-huh. But it was just, it was very much of like, you know, he was kind of scuzzy in general. Like he still had a Beavis and Butthead attitude, you know, to him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any stories like that for mine because I never really interacted with them.
Yeah.
They were just, you know, just a general like smart asses in class and stuff. Yeah, I'm sitting at the front like, oh, I want to listen. I was a real what was the kid who wears the winger shirt. That's who I was.
Oh yeah, Todd. Yeah. No, Todd's the cool kid.
Yeah, Todd's the one who I think took a gun to school at one point.
Yeah, the cool kid. He was the teenager back that took a gun to school. Who hated them? You know what's crazy is that, and I've said this before too, but like my dad looks exactly like Todd mixed with Mr. Van Driessen.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, like that. That's exactly what my father looks like. if you ever wanted to imagine my father, and God knows I have, that is what he looks like.
Of course.
So
Stuart,
like pictures.
His name is
Stuart.
Yeah, Stuart. Yes.
Stuart's the winger kid.
Yeah,
yeah. Who's one of the things you in this game you can fish for? Like uh-huh. you can pull him into your window through the fishing pole.
Yeah. Man, I just had just as like speaking of dad, just have so many like good memories of just, you know, just taking going on long drives with my dad, and then he just like look over at me and Chris, and he'd go kick me in the jimmy.
Yes.
Like, just see it like just like mixing that in with like Simpson stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There are like the more. The less complicated humor, like the greater kind of successes mm-hmm. of this, where you don't have to actually think about them being abused and dark and scumbag.
Yeah.
In Beavis and Butthead are all like the surrounding characters.
Yeah.
You know, like the townspeople and stuff is a very successful kind of critique of a specific kind of suburbia.
Yes.
You know, like one of the clips I watched because it was in my head was like, I love it. The one, you know, when they work at the fast food restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And have one of my favorite jokes from a kid. I wanted to watch it again, which is the phone keeps ringing and then Beavis just takes it and puts it in the fryer, like in one motion, it just fries it and pulls it out and pretends to talk on it. Like in a way that like he's doing a joke,
uh-huh.
you know, it's not just him being an idiot. Like he's doing that to be funny. And I always love that, but the carrot, all the customers in that are very like a specific kind of high wound, you know, McDonald's every day, you know, weird, hypertensive, kick me in the jimmy type.
Yeah. You know, one of those kick me in the jimmy types.
Yeah, you look like a real kick me in the jimmy type.
Yeah
it's a good jimmy for you.
And both of us grew up in similarly small, you know, suburban-esque settings, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, it ended up like being a really astutely observed kind of thing, right? In mm-hmm. in a way that, you know, doesn't have the affection that King of the Hill has. Like King of the Hill is such a, I could wax poetic about that for a very long time. Like that has a lot of that, but it's tempered with a heart that this just has no room for and would make this worse. Right.
Yeah. I do not want a very special episode of Beavis and Butthead.
No,
you know,
I don't
whereas,
want to see
like,
the actual consequences.
You know, King of the Hill is often like, I can't say that like King of the Hill has made me cry ever,
uh-huh.
but it is very sweethearted.
Yes.
You know, which is, and weirdly, like if you look at all the Mike Judge things, it's kind of unique in that. Like mm-hmm. he tends to lean more on that cynicism. I feel like there's, it's Schur, right?
No, Greg Daniels.
Greg Daniels, yeah. Like it's one of the other Office guys.
Yeah.
You know, who is the reason why that's sweethearted. It's not, you know, Mike Judge.
Right.
Like Mike Judge individual product. Like then you get fucking like, what's the, it's called like Ingredients or whatever.
Extract. Yeah.
Extract.
The really funny movie about how women extort people and unions are coercive. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you get stuff like that, which is just all cynicism and bad politics and bullshit.
Right.
You know, like, he needs to be tempered to be good.
Yeah. He needs, you know, that's what he needs. I don't know who he worked with on Office Space, but that was definitely a worthwhile target. I think that's the difference, right? Like Office Space feels like it is Office Space or like shitty suburbia. Those feel like worthwhile targets for his particular like acidity, right?
Yeah, and call me crazy, but women are not worthwhile targets for that,
right?
You know,
or the good family.
Yeah.
What if a family was very liberal?
yeah he's not so good as a guy, despite making a lot of things I like.
Yeah, that's a I think that I just need to have it. Like it needs to be okay for me to love King of the Hill and Beavis and
Butthead.
Like it just that is a luxury that I don't feel great about cashing in, but I'm going to.
I mean, yeah, I don't think it's, again, it's not just him. You know, we had this discussion when Aziz Ansari,
that
whole thing came out. It's like treating any of these shows where one of the people, like, you don't, you know, you don't need to boycott Parks and Rec because Aziz Ansari, because you're boycotting hundreds of innocent and good people.
Yeah.
Doing that, like, the collateral damage is not worth it.
Right, right.
You know?
Yep.
So that is, I think you can, even though his name is the main thing on King of the Hill, like, tons of people are involved in that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
Good old Johnny Hardwick.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He's the voice of Dale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Comedian. Yeah. Funny guy.
Mm-hmm. The good Hardwick.
One of the good Hardwicks.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's some good... What's that?
Who's not been Hardwick ducked?
No.
Yet. No.
if you go on the, you know, while we're talking about this, this political stuff, if you go on YouTube and I went on and looked at Frog Baseball, I was like, okay, yeah, that's definitely crude. I remember shouting Frog Baseball as though it was a joke when I was a kid, you know, me and Chris. A lot of this is just shouting things that were shouted in a video or shouttered in a TV show.
But yeah,
you
look like at the, shouting Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool thing to do as a kid.
Yeah, it is the coolest thing to do. Top three comments on Frog Baseball. We have Ender, who says, people now would have a nuclear meltdown over this. Lol. Spencer Morgan says, imagine if PETA reacted to this. Energetic Fanboy says, imagine if vegans saw this. They would go apeshit. Top three comments.
This is like... legit something that I've been thinking about lately, even if it isn't new, right? Like, even though this is an old statement, like, if there were, you know, if there was one, I'm not gonna say if there's one thing, because there's a million things I would just scrub from humanity as an attitude. But one of the things I hate, and this is not a new observation, it's very basic, it's just something that, like, I really hate, is in internet discourse where feeling something is a lose condition. Like, I hate it.
I hate it.
Like, the idea, oh, like, you're mad, like, oh, like, you know, oh, this is gonna make them upset, and that means you are somehow less than,
right? Right.
Because you fucking care. Like,
yeah. You flinched first.
God, do I fucking hate that. Like, the animal groups thing that I talk about, that I post or that I belong to on Facebook, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, the animals and predicaments kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes. Like, I curate a private one where I take the best of that to shield my friends from the absolute fucking assholes who are in that video. And now there's been a thing where, like, they keep posting, for a while it was, where's the fucking predicament?
Right. Because
they're idiots. Now it is, there's been this, like, rash of posting, like, animals that get killed.
What?
As things. And it's been, that had always happened a little bit, but there's been, like, a rash, because the only thing these, like, subhuman shitheads understand is doubling down because you got a reaction.
Right.
And the people keep posting. It's like, hey, can we fucking not, you know, do this? And every single time it's a flood of, like, you know, snowflake and, like, oh, you're upset. Ha ha. All these things, as if it is somehow makes you less than to care about seeing an animal die instead of greater than.
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine any other reason that they would post those pictures or those videos or GIFs or whatever. There's no other reason to do that than to get a rise out of somebody. So, I, you know, you got bummed out and asked me not to do a thing that I did specifically to provoke you. Guess what? I win. Lol.
Yeah, like, what, you win the dumbest, shittiest game where the prize is, like, a lifetime of loneliness and nobody worthwhile will ever want to fuck you. Like, you complete sack of garbage. You know, it makes me so mad that is just an accepted thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, like, don't feel.
Yeah.
Like, once you feel, you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lol, you mad, lol, you upset, whoa, you're really triggered, like, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Excruciating.
No, terrible. That sucks. That is terrible behavior.
Yeah. Very, very, very upsetting.
Yeah.
So, the thing I've been doing, you know, and whenever somebody posts like that, like, I want to support them because, you know, one, because there are group admins, and if enough people are like, hey, this fucking sucks, they'll change the rules about it. Like, right now they're trying to be, and, like, I relate to the difficulties of trying to manage a community.
Yeah.
They are, they're saying, you know, just laissez-faire, like, just block it. If you know, you see something you don't like, just block it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our responsibility lies, as opposed to being like, this is against the rules. And I think if enough people support the people who are saying this fucking sucks, they'll actually change the rules.
Right.
As I want. But, like, I just, you know, make fun of the assholes who do it and then just mute them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, you know, that's the end of, it's the end of my power. Those fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
So mad.
Yeah. No. it's like, hey, you can't react to anything.
Yeah. Don't like every once in a while, I think, you know, we have curated a very good audience for the most part, but every once in a while, one of those peoples will slip in, into like my Twitter mentions or something. And it's like, I know they listen to the shows from other interactions, and then they'll just pull something out like that. And I'm like, we don't listen to anything else we've said that isn't about Dragon Quest. You know, like if you listen to any part of us that isn't just, you know, Dark Souls lore, like Jesus Christ, you know, how did you think this would fly?
Exactly. That's the question. Like, well, what was your intended the outcome for saying this or doing this?
Yeah, like what did you think would happen?
Yeah.
You know, like, and it just like, man.
Yeah. Tough. There's some good game facts.
there's some all right stuff in this. Yeah. It is universally beloved.
Yes.
On game facts, which I was pretty surprised about.
Yeah, I was expecting people to give this a little bit of a AVGN kind of thing, kind of treatment. But no, like it is very, very highly reviewed. And additionally, if you look at one thing that is as I expected, look at the board. It is just people
quoting
and, you know, acting like they are Beavis and Butthead, which is fine and harmless. Like,
yeah. Let them have their fun. Yeah. Like, even if it is weird that it's in 2014, that they're just going on and on about being Cornholio.
Yep. You know? Yeah. There are a couple. So I reached outside of the of just the Genesis one. On the board for the Super Nintendo one, there's a topic that just says butthead picture, and it is a picture of a woman, maybe a girl, maybe a teenager, who looks exactly like Butthead in a very uncanny.
I am on my fucking way.
I'll just drop the link into the Slack for you. That way you're
Yeah, wow. That's like a very, like the hair.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that's off is the hair.
Yeah.
But the eyes are the same.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't want to be lookist or anything like that, but like that is the resemblance is uncanny. And as you know, the word that we use to describe the visual style for this is grotesque. Like, that is unfortunate.
It's also interesting because it's like, again, like you said, you wouldn't want to be lookist, but also like this is a very bad angle.
Uh-huh.
In general, like I bet you this person looks okay from a different angle
and with a different expression, not like different mugging for chaos. Yeah.
Like it looks like she's trying to make Butthead's expression.
Yeah.
You know, and if it wasn't doing that, then would maybe not have this extremely Butthead-esque, this extremely cryptid look. She's got to use a cold term.
Yeah. And then there's one response to the picture. The post is just a tiny pic URL. Pointman says, dude, that's sweet.
Yeah. Thanks,
which is very good.
Yeah. Thanks, bud. We love you, Pointman. I found kind of like some boilerplate stuff, but at least on the Genesis version, there's an issue where there's so much that is pretty difficult to find.
Yeah.
Golden Hill.
There are two things that I just think are sweet, actually, not sweet in a Beavis and Butthead way, but like sweet in a like in a Greg Daniels way. Genesis fact by C. A. Charya, who at the end says, "Message from the author. Well, I hope you enjoy this. It took me a few hours to type, so have fun and rock on."
Yeah,
Chris Archarya, smiley face, very sweet boy. And then we have a fact by Hates the Internet. Okay, cool. I like that. Introduction. First of all, I'm 14 years old. I spent a lot of time playing video games, and if you see any mistakes, email me at so-and-so.
No, not so. Well, I mean, it's on, because the email address is why is part of why this is good. I saw this too.
Yeah. At webwiztommy@aol.com.
Oh, he's a webwiz.
He's a webwiz. Look at him.
Look at him go.
Although he does say spelling and grammar mistakes you send me will be ignored.
Yeah, the end of it, Wizwib Tommy becomes, you know, the dark wizard. He really surrounds it up where it's like, only GameFAQs.com may publish this fact. Do not email asking because I will just ignore you. Huh? Do not rip off this fact. I spent a lot of time, nearly went insane with all the writing and stuff.
Yeah.
Please keep playing Sega Genesis. I know it's obsolete, but come on.
Oh, and awesome, I didn't see
do
this
not
last one.
Worship Pokemon. Then please come to realize how dumb it really is.
Take that clean because I talked over you accidentally.
do not worship Pokemon. If you do, then please come to realize how dumb it really is.
Tommy, no.
Yeah, Tommy, during that, this really did like break him. Yeah. He started off pretty sweet and then kind of came to the end, you know. Thanks to all the, and even thanks to all the little people.
Mm.
Yeah, like the boy. Yeah, thanks to all the little people and GameFAQs for being the greatest site ever, and Beavis and Butthead for being the stupidest, yes, greatest show on MTV. Is it even on anymore? I don't know, bud. Like, Tommy, I really went from like loving this kid to losing, being lost by him, like really fast.
So I guess it's just like it is an opening piece of data that I brought my own prejudice to the idea of a precocious 14-year-old submitting this and saying like, hey, I did this, I hope you like it. I spend a lot of time playing video games. Like, 14-year-olds can be shits, Gary. I missed the actual message. Yeah, what the fuck me.
I'm gonna email him real quick and see if I can use his Beavis and Butthead fact on our site.
Okay,
on our site. Love the fact. Thanks, buddy. Love, Gary. I can't wait to hear from the mailer, Damon. not yet. So okay. maybe I'll look out.
Usually, it's immediate.
If so, look out for duckfeed.tv/beavisandbutthead .text or whatever. We decide to host this.
Yep.
Like, we should search that. Like, for all these facts, we start asking for permission to host them.
Oh, yeah.
Because eventually they'll say yes, and then we just have a small collection of facts on the site for things we've done for Abject Suffering.
Yeah. There's one more just review that I need to highlight by Misery Clown. _clown.
We've had Misery Clown before.
Was Misery Clown the guy from the Immortal episode? I think he was.
Yeah. Yeah. But he definitely, Misery Clown has been around, dude.
Yeah. Okay. title: I've always wanted to belch a sickly green cloud in the direction of a law enforcement officer. Here's the body text. Mm-hmm. Guilty as charged, convicted on all counts. I never did fall into the Beavis and Butthead craze. Once they'd garnered a national reputation for their dastardly antics and inappropriate mannerisms, I spoke out along with the rest of my generation in their defense. But I certainly didn't set aside their time slot on a regular basis simply to ensure I saw their show.
Yeah, Misery Clown's really... I forgot about this because we recorded that episode a million years ago.
Uh-huh.
Did we talk about how amazing it is that this guy is like a dandy, but also his name is Misery Clown with a Y?
Yes. We absolutely okay. did.
I think juggle up front, business out back.
Yeah. And if you look at his
philosophy,
he's no longer an active member. Oh, you can see his contributions though.
We definitely went through some of the contributions, I'm sure. Yeah.
But the style of his writing, as contrasted by the fact that he's like almost exclusively writes stuff about wrestling games.
Yeah.
So it really is, you know, like dandy up front, juggalo in the back.
Yeah. Love it. Innovative and laughable tactics abound, or what set Beavis and Butthead up on the pedestal of decency. It is a story pedestal, Misery Clown. Yeah. So that episode of The Immortal is a good segue.
It is.
Into that. So that episode of The Immortal is in the Diggity Duck Bundle 2, which is our charity bundle for this year,
mm-hmm.
which includes an episode of this show on The Immortal, which is an off-requested game.
Yes. Yeah, and includes a bunch of other stuff. So, like, if you enjoy us just kind of goofing on bad things, there's an episode of Adaptation Decay in there that you can get a hold of mm-hmm. about Captain N.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up.
No. Another game that has been requested a lot for Abject Suffering is Fasanadu. Mm-hmm. However, we did a WAF about it because that is a good game.
Yeah. Yep. And The Immortal's good, too.
Yeah.
Just lest anyone think that that distinction actually means anything. Right, one of them is about Misery Clown. One of them is about the game.
Right.
So it's one episode of most of our current shows
mm-hmm.
and some of our non-current shows.
Yeah.
And it is available for $10 or whatever you want to pay.
Yep.
So you can pay more because it goes to charity. All mm-hmm. proceeds go to charity.
Yeah. Three charities. The National Domestic Violence Hotline. Mm-hmm. Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. And mm-hmm. Life After Hate, a group that helps people leave hate groups if they decide yes. to rejoin society.
Yeah, which seems like a good move.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to start forwarding it to, Thunder Thug / Bullshit or whatever in my animal group. Who thinks that a turtle having a shell cracked is something for polite society.
Yeah, unless you're looking for something in there, then.
Yeah, it's all fun and like I don't know if that person realizes that like we're joking about cracking open turtles, man.
Yeah.
It's a long running joke, but like I've never killed a turtle in my life except for the dryness of my dick. Like all of the turtles I've killed have been on accident because I've gone in hanging dry dong, you know. Like I am banned at the reptile house, but it's not by choice.
Right. You cannot help what moisture around you decides to do.
Yeah, I don't control osmosis. What am I, Osmosis Jones?
Sweet Osmosis Jones pull, bro.
Thanks, man. Yeah. You know, so I don't actually crack open turtles. Now once they're dead, like they've been dried out, like they crack kind of naturally and like yeah. Like I look for some treasure.
Right, right.
So don't post about it.
Right. Don't encourage it. You know, don't increase the demand is the thing. You know,
yeah, those pics go in an incognito browser only.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's in Tor.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Just to make sure. We know they're not baby rubies, they're hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we just pretend they're baby rubies.
There's a lot of room in there
for USB like, drives and stuff.
Yeah, there might be a USB drive with like I don't know that hidden Wu-Tang album or something.
Yep.
Yeah. All kinds of shit.
to get that bundle, go to duckfeed.tv/store. You can also get the previous year's bundle if you have not already heard that. That, I believe, has an episode of Mortal Kombat 4 with Fulbright's Steve Gaynor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are all good things to do. The other thing you can do if you want to support just the network and want us to keep going, you know, and be able to keep the lights on and such, pay rent, is go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can also, you know, if you're unable to afford that, please rate and review the show and or spread the word.
Yes.
Get your friends to like it.
I think that just about covers it, Gary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So until next time, who is Zoofrog? Baseball?
Yeah, there we go.
No. It seems about right.
Who is Goofrog? He's Goo, yeah. He's Goo at the end of it. That Syphil and Ollie was ever big enough to have a game made out of it.
Yeah. Syphil and Ollie, they came at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Right show at the wrong time.
Yeah.